The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
You're with George Brockler. And no transition today with the great Peter Boyles, because Pete be on the slopes out there at Winter Park. I think he's skiing with his boy, which is something I hope to do on Monday if I can get my son up there and we can figure out a way to find a place to park. Because, as you know, over the big three-day weekends, it gets incredible. Our number, 303-696-1971. We've talked about a couple different things, but really what's been driving the conversation most of the morning, and I'm about to crest over hour four into hour five, has been this discussion of the King Soopers Union picketing, striking, and the picket's now a day and a couple hours old. And it started with the question, have you seen it? Have you been there to the store? What did it look like? We had a couple callers call in and say, hey, I drove by my parking lot there at the King Soopers. Very empty compared to normal. Another guy called in and said, hey, I delivered donuts to the strikers. We've seen on social media, I think it was KDVR or something, Fox 31, there was some audio that was put out there where there's someone crossing the picket line saying, you guys should get back to work. And then the picketers very nicely say, have a nice day. And I'm interested to know, have you been out there? Have you seen it? What was it like? How many people were there, if any? We've also come to learn that not every King Soopers is part of the union, the Local 7. So if you have picketers out at your King Soopers, and I have not driven by the two of ours in Parker yet, but maybe I'll do that this morning when I go home. What's it like? What's the mood of them? This is day one, right? We're crossing over into day two. We should have this conversation again in a week or so and see the progress. Less people, more people? Do they keep their energy up? Or is it down? And how does the public respond to them? In a day and age where everything is immediate gratification, who does that help? Does it help the picketers? Does it help Kroger? I just don't know the answer. 303-696-1971. Now, we had Jay hold on, and I'm going to take Jay again. Jay, I should tell you, in the interim, we've had some folks here on Peter's Wall of Hate. It's just a bunch of texters, and I love hearing from them. It says, and I'm going to read you the quote here. Jay is way off base. Mazda wouldn't exist if it wasn't for Ford. Ford owns them. I was a trades union official for 21 years, and there's absolutely no sign of communism. What are your thoughts?
Well, he's cross-polarized with the facts because he wasn't around in World War II, obviously, like your grandfather or mine. If we would have had unions during any war, we would have lost every war. Come on, get a grip. You want the best equipment. When somebody's shooting at you, you want something that runs, right?
Yeah.
And you better run fast. So he just misunderstood me, so excuse me for that.
Do you feel differently, by the way, about public versus private sector unions, or do you feel the same about
both? Yeah. No, well, the deal is this. I have a lot of family that does a lot of things, including grocery work. Long time ago, you know, there used to be really good, strong unions in Albertsons and King Soopers and Safeway. And for some reason, that's all been broken up. And I can't really speak to that. But I do know that those companies have been hammered by Whole Foods and by Sprouts.
Right.
Because they deliver superior products. And they're very nice to you when you go in, aren't they?
They're very nice. But I also think Amazon stretched its model out into that Whole Foods. And that's how they're trying to take on the big boys.
Yeah. Can I go back to that big windstorm
we're
going to talk about?
Yep.
Okay. So we are not supposed to be at this location. We got a great group of people, guys and girls, and we're supposed to be doing this thing up on this hillside, and I believe it was December 30. And at 10 o'clock in the morning, I had this huge structure up in the air with this big crane, and at 10:23, the wrath of Khan came over that hill. We saw the whole thing. It hit us like nothing I've ever seen. It was at least 114 mile an hour. And it was, luckily, we had good people, non-union people, by the way.
What happens at 114 mile an hour winds?
Well, it burst my eardrum.
Oh, my gosh.
Almost took our tractor over. It was gigantic. I'll show you a picture sometime.
Yeah, yeah.
We were up on a hillside, and the bad part was is when the structure is being supported with a huge piece of equipment, which I've never seen, this thing weighs 26,000 pounds on the boom. It was going to tip it over. because it was a crosswind. And the wind came actually from the southwest to the northeast. But what it looked like coming through the Flatirons was it looked like a sideways tornado. It was picking things up, but it was going horizontal.
Huh.
I mean, it was unbelievably scary. And then the good part, if you want to hear that, which I think is important, is obviously they got all those people out, but the crew were looking over the side, and they're crying.
Oh, no.
What's going on? They're seeing these houses blow up every 2 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
We're thinking there's people in those homes, and were, too. How in the world did the wonderful law enforcement get in fire, get all those people out of those buildings so quickly?
I don't know, but
it's unbelievable.
It's a miracle. But also, yeah. I had a buddy of mine on, Mike Traxler, from up there, who lost everything in a fire.
Yep.
And what was also super intriguing about that, and I don't want to get too far off the field of the union stuff, but we're here, is that how the fire just sort of randomly picked which homes to burn. It wasn't like the whole block. He's like, everybody across the street's good to go. Three houses to my right, three houses to my left. Everyone else is good. It's just like it picked out these six or seven houses and said, boom, you're done, and then moved on to another part of the community. Like, what? Amazing.
Well, let me try to highlight, because we saw it. I'm not a weather person, but NOAA's there. NOAA should be able to tell us everything, but they're not talking at all. That's the National Weather Service right there. Is we think, we've talked about this so much in the shop, is that the thing was moving sideways and it was twisting sideways. So just like a twister, it'll pick a cow up and leave a car alone, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know this, but we were watching it and we were devastated. We set everything down. Everything was saved. Our mission was to basically drop down and basically watch things. And the only thing we think is that it was a sideways tornado, not a microburst, which goes down. And it was sucking things up because it was doing the same thing to us.
Huh.
Like right next to us,
there
was nothing. And then all of a sudden, boom, something would pop off the ground, almost like some strange science fiction movie.
That's crazy.
It's unusual. I have a lot of photos.
Thank you for sharing. You can also text those in, by the way, like everybody else. Go to the app or the website there at 710KNUS, and if you shoot them in off of that, I get pictures on here all the time. One last thing, and I'll let you go. The texter who had texted in about Mazda and Ford and all this stuff said, hey, his union built the ships for the Navy in World War II. So from his vantage point, there's certainly no downside to having had the union's world.
But after the war, we were infiltrated by communists into the union. He needs to do his history. And if he wasn't around for that, I'm sorry for that, but my ancestors were. My father led 5,600 people in the war. Don't you tell me what it was about.
Yeah, and I don't think he's trying to tell you what it's about. But Jay,
no, not you. I'm talking about your guy.
No, I don't think he's trying to tell you what it's about. I do think what he's trying to say is, look, the comments that make the union seem like they were all bad during the war, he's saying, our union wasn't. We built ships.
Got it. And our fathers, and your father was 101st Airborne, and I got an uncle that I'd never met that Hitler gassed. So we get it. Okay.
Yeah.
The point is this: if you get led astray, you get led astray. And I don't think they can come back on track, because I think they're so misled by the people at the top that don't understand that we all want something decent to eat, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying.
Jay, thanks as always for listening. Thanks for the great phone call and the heads up on all the wind and fire stuff that was going on. Jay's line is open at 303-696-1971. RJ, you're on the, I guess it's the George Brockler Show now. I think we've crossed over from amazing. You're on the George Brockler Show. What do you think, RJ?
Hey, buddy. Real quick. Ford sold its majority in Mazda. So if there's ever text on that.
Oh, it did. When did they do that?
2008, with the financial crisis of 2005, they maybe own 15% to 20% now, but they're not a majority holder. They let go of Range Rover, Volvo. They dumped a lot and freed up a lot of cash.
Yeah,
that's when a CEO named Alan Mulally, I believe.
Man, you are in the know, my friend. That is a lot of detail.
He didn't take the TARP payments.
What is your sense of the unions, given the discussions that we've had and the parts that you've listened to? First off, I presume you have a King Super somewhere nearby, wherever you live. Have you been?
I live in Parker, too.
Okay, I live in Parker. So which one do you go to, the one off of Lincoln or the one off of Stroh?
Stroh is, I go off Lincoln and Jordan.
Yep,
sir.
That's the one I go to more often, although we do go to Stroh, too. Have you been by there? Are there picketers there?
I have not been by there yet, but as they say, I've crossed the picket line to do my shopping, and I feel for all parties. What I would just comment on is people seem to forget these days because they always have a cell phone in their hand. But what I would say is I think your timing is you're going to drive prices higher, and Safeway couldn't be happier.
Do you know, and there's something to that, but do you know how, like, I presume Safeway's workers must be unionized. I'm just making that up. It feels like they must be, or some portion of them. Like, do they wait and see how well King Soopers does before they decide whether or not to move forward? And, like, what's the disparity in pay between Safeway and King Soopers? Like, why did Local 7 strike for King Soopers, but Safeway's happy at work? I mean, what's the difference?
Well, the difference is probably about $2,000 or $3,000 a year. I did see on one of the local channels this morning the annual average pay for King Soopers, Safeway, Whole Foods-type employees. I did see that disparity there.
How big is it?
Maybe, well, $2,000 to $3,000. But I believe that King Soopers might be on the more money than the Safeway employees.
Interesting.
But one thing I will say is what I want to clarify is, real quick, do you remember when the Obama administration changed the criteria for a full-time employee, which is now 30 hours?
Yep. And they tried, and they sucked in, like, all the interns and stuff when, like, you wanted to have internships for free. It's like, nope, now you're governed by the same rules as everybody else.
Now, I would imagine maybe the Trump administration possibly changed that. I'm not sure. But what I will say is if we're going off 30 hours here, that still, in my mind, it might be law, but in my head, still just common sense that tells me it's not a full-time employee. And if they're getting paid $33,000 a year on 30 hours, maybe they need to take a look at that, because your president's got in such a porous border right now that they can be replaced. And I'm sorry to say that. I know that obviously these people need jobs, but, you know, your same president that's going to allow border to just people come on in, those people could possibly fill your job. So I would be careful with that, because all of us still want food on our dinner table. And I don't know if we care yet who's giving it to us.
Well, I think there's a lot of truth to that, RJ. And thank you for that smart call and your insight on that, especially about the Mazda piece and Ford. I think you highlight something else that actually Amy from Alpine had mentioned in the last hour, and that was the interconnectivity of everything. You can't just simply say that this is the cause of this, but there has to be something to the idea that we have this porous border and an influx of really unregulated labor. As much as we make people fill out that I-9 form, employers and all, there is a huge pocket of really unregulated labor out there. And what does that do to drive the cost of labor down? I don't know the answer to it, but there's no way to just say, well, hey, if we just increase this, then it'll work out. And you know that if we increase the pay for the employees, it's going to have an inflationary effect that we've already experienced, by the way, 7%, highest in 40 years, on the cost of goods inside that store. And I'm just interested to keep having this conversation with you at 303-696-1971. What are your thoughts on this? Not would you cross the picket line, but did you? Or did you choose not to? And what did you see when you got to the picket line? Good, bad, and different descriptions? I'm looking for witnesses as well. We are going to go to someone with one of the most masculine names out there in the world from Northern Colorado. George, you're on 710 KNUS.
Hey, morning, George.
Morning.
Morning. So a couple thoughts on this. I have not crossed it yet. However, I will. But I drove by two different King Soopers yesterday afternoon. One of the things I got a bit of a chuckle is the workers say that, well, King Soopers hasn't done enough to protect them during the pandemic. And the one King Soopers I drove by yesterday, there was 10 strikers standing out in front with their signs up, congregated in a circle, less than 10 feet in diameter. And I started laughing because I'm like, well, golly gee, you're all less than 6 feet apart. Not a one of you is wearing a mask.
Oh, boy.
And that's part of the reason why you're on strike, is because you said the company didn't do enough to protect you during the pandemic.
Well, that's interesting. Being outside is probably a mitigator, but being that close unmasked, yeah, that is interesting. That is interesting. What are your thoughts on the other things that they're talking about, which are increased wages, increased, I think, health insurance, something like that?
I heard a thing the other day, and I don't know how truthful it is, that they're either that what Kroger has proposed or what they currently have on their insurance is for a family of four, that it's like $35 a week was their insurance. If that's the case, where do I sign up? I'm paying $50 a week for just one person
oh my
through my
goodness.
Employer, and I have horrible health insurance. In terms of what they want for wages and their whole essential worker routine thing, here's my thought on it. I'm 62 years old. I'm a truck driver. I'm getting ready to retire here in a couple of months. And I've worked the last 2 years. I haven't hardly seen my family the last two years because I've been out on the road as the essential worker, making sure that the grocery stores are stocked and everybody else is stocked and has all their stuff. I've been abused. I've been crapped on. I've been treated like, you know, words I can't use on the air, obviously, for the last 2 years by big business, little business, workers, the government, et cetera. I have some very strong thoughts regarding King Polis over the last 2 years, too.
Well, first off, George, thank you for what you did staying in the fight with the drive and stuff like that. I mean, even though I can't probably put my hand on a single item that you trucked from here to there, you and the other folks like it made sure that I was able to put my hands on some of that stuff. So thank you for doing that.
Everything you buy at the grocery store, I helped in some way or shape or form brought part of it to the grocery store.
That's great.
Because that's primarily what I deliver. So when these guys talk about, you know, oh, we're not getting enough pay, we're not getting enough of that, they're not doing enough of this, you know, there's a lot of other essential workers that have put up with more and have done more the last 2 years than what they have and are not getting as much as they are, and in many cases are getting less and are getting treated even worse.
We've got, George, as you're talking, we've got texters coming in here, and one of them has said, just to give the listeners some highlights, that their daughter is a part-time cashier at King's, paid $14 an hour, and no health care benefits until there for over a year.
Okay. My wife works 45 hours a week for a company, and her health insurance only kicks in for full-time employees, not part-time employees. And it doesn't kick in until they've been there for a year either. So I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, I listen.
You know, and if she's unhappy, she could go to McDonald's and make $16 or $17 an hour and get health insurance after 90 days.
Yeah, I didn't know that was true. George, thank you for the phone call. Thank you for what you did. Good luck in retirement, man. In 2 months, just stay safe out there. And please don't burn out your brakes going eastbound on I-70 and plowing. I know you wouldn't ever do that, but, you know, just a plug out there for safety. Listen, the texts are blowing up, which is great. I love to hear that. I want to get to them, but I also would rather talk to you on the phone as well, 303-696-1971. I'll share some of the texts with you when we come back. Listen, this is now full-fledged The George Brockler Show. After 4 hours of Pete, my hat's off to that guy. We'll be back in just a minute. It's 710 KNUS. Not that far behind the end of a five-hour glorious stretch here on 710 KNUS. Filled in for Peter from 5 to 9. He'll be back tomorrow, but you don't have to wait till then for live local radio. You're going to get that with Stephen Tubbs from 3 to 7. I really don't know how he does it every day, or Pete for that matter. I've just done a five-hour stretch. I told G behind the glass here. I had tried to cut back on my coffee intake to only when I'm in the station. And so, you know, on a normal 9 to 10 a.m. shift, I get a drink or two of coffee, like maybe a cup, two cups. I've been pounding that thing. It's got to be a gallon now. I may not sleep for a week. I will be part of the undead. Maybe this is just how they do it, or they lace it with meth or something to keep things going. But George Brockler with you here until the 10 o'clock hour when I'll be replaced by Charlie Kirk at the national level. Like I said, S. Tubbs, that's Stubbs, on with you from 3 to 7. Now, we've got callers on the line. There's a line open, 303-696-1971. Talking about, again, the unions, but from this standpoint, what are you seeing out there? Like, I know Pete had spent a long time, and he's got such a great background in this, having grown up in a union family and from a union part of the country. That ain't true here, and that wasn't true for me. So what are you seeing out there? Have you gone to King Soopers? Are there strikers? Are there picketers? And if so, did you cross? And if you, did you engage these guys? We had Gary earlier on in the show say, hey, I brought him two dozen donuts. About 15, 20 people. They seemed upbeat. I want to see how this progresses over what's supposed to be a 3 week strike. It'll be really interesting to see if it ever gets that far for a lot of different reasons. But the texts are blowing up. And you can text me by getting onto that 710KNUS app, a super clear way to listen to the show, but also at 710KNUS.com. These are great, and I'm going to read many of them. But I'd really love to talk with you at 303-696-1971. Love that back and forth. So here's someone that has texted. Oh, by the way, Stubbs, S. Tubbs, texted me and said there are no signs of a strike at Lincoln and Jordan just there. And I presume that was to get his Mucilix in the morning, because if you run out, you know, at that age. Just kidding, Stefan. Love you. Here's someone that says, both of the King Supers in Castle Rock are not union, so they're fully operational. I was there yesterday, and they are fully staffed, no empty shelves. Here's one that says, we'll see how dedicated the strikers are when the bad weather hits. Well, I guess that could be true. You know, today's supposed to be a high of 60. That'll make it easy. Some light snow tomorrow, 43 degrees, and then Saturday it dips down to 38 degrees. Still not freezing, but man, in that zip code, and then we shoot back up into the 50s for your fossil fuel-induced climate change, I presume. Here's one. Someone said Safeway has an agreement with the union that they will not strike at the same time as King's. Why? I mean, that's fascinating to me that they have that negotiation. Why would they do that? Is that because people would go nuts because they wouldn't have an alternative? Is it to the union's advantage to say, hey, we'll strike on King's, and then you guys will get the benefit of all the customers that don't want to cross the picket lines? Is that it? And what happens when they're done with King's? Do they turn to Safeway and say, Safeway, we're coming for you, and King's, don't worry, we're not going to strike against you again. We're just going to do Safeway till they match the... That is so fascinating to me. And then the same person said, hey, I was at Safeway yesterday. I asked them if they were in the same union. They said yes, but they had this agreement. That is fascinating. Here's another one. Store in Glendale was mostly empty. It was great shopping, as there were no lines. The shelves were full. The strikers were in circles talking to each other. And it sounds like from one of our other callers, maskless. Something, no health care till there for a year. About the wages and insurance, good. Here's one. Pharmacies have been having longer lines the last 6 months. Now, listen, that's true. We use the Walgreens there at Lincoln and Parker Road, and you don't walk into that building unless you've got an extra hour or so to spend out of your life, because God bless them. And I'm not, in no way am I blaming the pharmacists behind the glass. They are at a dead sprint the whole time. But, oh, my God, it is just incredible. The fact that they can still keep a smile on their face and not use profanity when they're dealing with people is incredible. But yeah, I get it, the lines. There is that sign which says no one can enter a pharmacy without a licensed pharmacist, state law. If pharmacists are striking, it is not like there are a ton of pharmacists that are available. I don't know that they're striking, and I don't know if they're part of that group. Are they employees of the pharmacy or King Supers? That's a great question. I don't know the answer to that, but a lot of good stuff coming up here, and we'll continue to take your calls. Phone lines are full right now, but let's go to Kevin in Denver. You're on 710 KNUS with George Brocker. What do you think, Kevin?
George, great show today.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate that.
And I wanted to talk about the legislature, but then you went off on the
We'll do that too if you want, but go ahead with the union stuff.
No, the union stuff is more important right now because, you know, you have people coming up and saying, you know, it's all about the money, et cetera. But when you had that gentleman on that talked about the history of the unions, you got to remember that when the union started, you know, you had child labor, you had sweatshops, you had men working 80 hours a week.
Oh, 7 days a week.
And shoved into the most dangerous situations with no protection at all. And that led to the growth of the unions. Well, as a result of that, and because of what one caller talked about, communist infiltration of the unions, we passed laws in this country. One is under the National Labor Relations Board, which regulates, you know, workplaces and things like that. And the other one is the Fair Labor Standard Act.
True.
Which prevents kids from, you know, working and provides for overtime if you work more than 40 hours a week. So what we've seen change with regards to unions and workers in the country now is that currently it's a lot cheaper for a business to hire two part-time employees, not have to pay for their health care and keep down their wages, as opposed to hiring a full-time employee and having to, you know, pay health care benefits, et cetera. So when they can get away with that, some business go that route. It hurts them in the long run, but in the short run, I got cheap labor, and that works for them.
So well, what's the answer to that, though, Kevin? I mean, how does my guess is most businesses are like, how do I maximize profit? And one of the ways to do that is to navigate the FLSA laws and all that other stuff. How do you do that?
Well, first of all, Colorado's not covered under the NLRB, the National Labor Relations Board. Colorado is a free work state. So one of the
we're not a right to work state. We're not right to work.
I'm sorry. A right to work state. Thank you for correcting.
We're not that, but we do have some sort of a peace kind of between the unions. Because we've talked about going right to work, and then it's like, we're going to go crack. So we didn't do that either.
Well, but the workers in Colorado are still competitively paid their wages, or else they simply go elsewhere to get those wages to an NLRB state. So Colorado has to stay competitive with NLRB states in order not to have a bunch of workers leave the state looking for jobs elsewhere. So Colorado does that, and they usually do that by way of local unions. And now the King Soopers, what we're talking about, these are local guys, and what they're looking for are pay hikes, and that's something that you go after as a union employee, and they're looking for health care benefits or additional health care benefits. And that is something else that you negotiate with the owners of the business based upon how much profit is the business making and how much of that profit is coming down to the workers by way of wages and healthcare, et cetera.
Should the profit come down to the workers? I just don't know the answer to this. I mean, listen, the business I own has me as an employee.
Well, now you have to make that decision as an owner, don't you? I mean, my profit is based upon the work and the quality of the work of my employees. If they're going to give me trash and I'm not going to get profits, if I reward them for doing excellent, then my profits come in. Well, how much of that do I send back down to them? That's a decision that's made in, well, negotiations.
I get it.
What King Soopers is doing now.
Kevin, let me ask you this.
If
we can agree that the union served a valuable purpose at the front end of the last century and did some great things in establishing stuff we take for granted, does that keep us from concluding today maybe unions have just outlived their usefulness? Or do you think no?
Teachers unions, and the answer is yes.
Yeah, yeah. What about for Kroger?
Gotta go.
What about for Kroger?
Well, Kroger Foods needs to negotiate, and that's what's happening right now. Everything is negotiable. You were an excellent DA, and you know this. Everything is on the table, and then we discuss what we're going to leave on the table and what comes off the table, and that's just the process of negotiations. If you run into a stalemate, you do what these guys are doing right now, which is job action, just demonstrating how much pain, all right, the bosses are going to suffer if the workers don't work. Now, that's a demonstration. They say it's a 3-week demonstration. They even put a deadline on it. So it's a negotiation practice. Negotiate away, boys. Have at it.
And did you tell me you would or would not go to a King Soopers?
Oh, I definitely never would ever cross a picket line. Never.
That is fascinating. Kevin, great conversation. Great topic. Thank you,
George. Great show.
Yeah, thanks for listening. This is a fantastic thing. Kevin's line is open, 303-696-1971. I'm getting smarter on some of this stuff. Have the unions outlived their usefulness now at this point? And what have you seen out there at the King Soopers? We're on day two, officially. We've crested over at 5 a.m. into day two of the strike. We ought to do this probably a little bit over the next couple few weeks to see whether the morale stays up, whether the impact is what they think it is. I'm fascinated by the Local 7 agreement with Safeway and how that'll play out in the future. Really fascinating stuff. Rusty, you're on 710 KNUS with George Brockler. What do you think, Rusty?
I think that last guy was a really good caller, and I honestly don't have a lot to bring to the party. But I was curious if you could you could further the discussion by just briefly summarizing what the issues are that they're striking over. I just drove by the King Soopers on Broadway and Floyd in Inglewood, and there were quite a few picketers out there. But the parking lot also looked full.
How many picketers do you think there were? 15, 20, more or less?
20 sounds like a good number, but you know what I noticed is that they haven't done very well on their DIE agenda, because I don't think I saw one black picketer.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah, so they need to step up their diversity out there.
I wonder if that's a function, by the way, of just the actual overall employment. I mean, maybe they just don't have that many minority employees in general in the grocery store.
I don't know. I've never noticed one thing or the other about that. But that was kind of a tongue in cheek comment. But there were quite a few, and they were up there and they're yelling and jumping and all of that. But I'm curious what the issues are. I haven't had a chance.
So
to
So the three
that
big ones that I've read about, and you know, Pete has had on, I think, the head of the Local 7 on the show a couple times, and I'm sure he'll have her on probably tomorrow to talk about progress. But what I have heard about is the three big areas are safety within the store. I presume that's COVID related, health insurance benefits like that, and then pay. And those always, with the exception of the COVID safety thing, those two always seem to go hand in hand, right? Like no one says, no, we're happy with the pay. We want to increase our benefits or vice versa. So it's the safety, the benefits, and the pay. And the one thing that a couple texters have sent in to us here are pictures of what King Soopers is offering per hour for positions. What I'm interested in knowing is, what are the union demands, and what specifically was the counteroffer from Kroger? Normally, Rusty, you and I don't get to know that because that's just private stuff between people who are negotiating for a contract. But when they invite us into it, it feels like the union should say, okay, here's what we're dealing with. We're getting paid this. This is what we think we should be entitled to.
Well, who are the people that come into the hiring room at a King Soopers and point a gun at the employees and make them sign that contract?
There's a lot of credit to be given towards the argument that in this economy you can vote with your feet, especially with how low unemployment is and how many open jobs are. There is some truth to that. But aside,
it is very ironic.
Yeah.
I mean, on the one hand, I would say you people are lucky to have a job, but on the other hand, it seems like there's so many jobs everywhere that are available. I'm not sure at that level. Probably not at the hourly level that the King Soopers employees are being paid. Or I do believe many of them would leave, wouldn't they?
Maybe. But I'll say this. You get certain benefits from a company for longevity. And so all of a sudden, the longer you're there, the harder it becomes to want to start over in another process. And I'm not going to take up the sides of, hey, I want more unions and more striking, because I don't believe that. But I'll say this. Some of these people are the heroes of the pandemic in a way, that they're the ones that kept the grocery stores going while you and I were scrambling trying to find that last roll of toilet paper or fruit out there.
Yeah.
And to some extent, I can see them saying, listen, man, when the store needed me, when Kroger needed me, I came. We didn't know what this was going to be. I risked health. I risked my family's health to do this. And now that I'm asking for a little bit more, you're like, no. And so I don't really have a lot of options. Please don't make my only option to be quit. So I can see where they're at. I just want to know the dang details. I want to know the specifics.
Yeah.
What did Kroger offer? What did the employees reject? And where are we going?
You know, the last caller kept talking about the amount of the profits that would be dropped down to the employees. And I'm speaking as a small business owner, and I'm sure Kroger is profitable, but a lot of times, I mean, people always talk about the profits, maximizing profits of a business. Not, a lot of times, believe me, it's minimizing losses. It's not about greed. It's about you got to do everything you can to squeeze out whatever dollars you can from your costs so that you can have some return for all of your efforts.
Well, someone else texted in and said, that's what I love about these listeners is they're super smart and informed. Someone said they offered a $2 per hour increase, at least at my daughter's level, and she's entry and part-time. So $2 per hour. If part-time is 20 hours, so a $2,000 raise for a part-time employee, for a 2,000-hour employee, and I don't know if it's graduated at all based on longevity or the job you hold, that's about $4,000 a year.
Okay, well, listen, I got to go. I'm going to close my store, and I'm going to go down to King Soopers and put in an application.
Rusty, great call. Thanks for listening. 303-696-1971. Rusty, once you get employed, I'd love to hear about working conditions and how it's going every morning crossing the picket line when you come back. Rusty's line is open. Give us a call. We're going to go to Arnie from Littleton. You're on 710 KNUS. Arnie.
Hey, George.
Hey, sir.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear you on here for 5 hours.
Me, the 5 hours part.
But,
5 hours part is hard, buddy. I'm going to take a nap.
I have three quick items about the strike and the unionization of both public and private.
Yep.
And I come from the construction business, and we've always been somewhat anti-union. The biggest benefit from the union at one point was if we were having a big effort on a job site, and we needed 20 carpenters, and we only had 3 on the payroll, you called the union bench, and they were required to furnish you the number that you needed within, like, a couple of hours.
Huh.
And that was a long time ago, but that was one of the benefits of the union, is if you're going to have the agreement, then you have obligations as well. And if they didn't furnish the number of people, then we could hire anybody as a replacement for a specific work. Now, with regard to King Soopers, I live almost diagonally across the one from Ken Carroll and Sims.
Yep, I know it.
And it seems like to me that everybody out there on the line, and there's probably 5 or 6 people at each one of the main drive-ins, and it just looks like they're having a good old party time. Quite frankly, I have stopped buying stuff at King Soopers, because over the last year, I have watched prices on the stuff that I buy there go steadily up, 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 up. And so one of the things that I've learned, and I had to relearn it myself, that was the local Walmart at C470 in Bowles.
Yep.
The prices are so much lower there on anything. And I'll use one example. I can go in there and buy my milk with Walmart's brand at $1.67 a half gallon, and that same one at King Soopers cost $2.29, unless you had some sort of a digital coupon. Yeah. But so that's one of the big things. Down the street from King Soopers, there's a new brand gas station that has opened up, and I can buy my gasoline in there for $2.89.
Oh, wait. I need that. Hey, Arnie, forgive me. Can you shoot me a text with that address? Thank you for the call, but, man, that music means I got to punch out of here. But we're going to come back. Arnie's line is now open, 303-696-1971. And, Phil, everybody else that's on hold, you stay on, and I'll get you on. Until that time, you're listening to me. My name's George Brockler. This show is actually named The George Brockler Show, and this station is 710 KNUS. Oh, yeah, last half an hour here with the big man, the G-man behind the glass, making sure that we don't come off the rails, George Brockler here on The George Brockler Show. I've been in since 5, covering for Pete. He'll be back tomorrow, and then I'll slide right back into the 9 to 10 o'clock slot. Phone lines jammed. You keep a call in 303-696-1971. Just a quick reading of a couple of these things. You can tell some of the texters not really taking the position of the picketers here, the strikers. Here's one. Maybe King Super employees should be grateful they were allowed to work instead of unemployed and losing the lifestyle they worked so hard for. And here's another one that says, give them what they want, put in more self-checkout lines, and have mass layoffs to offset the increase. There's something to that. I mean, whether it's McDonald's or Taco Bell or King Supers, there is an increasing amount of automation. And that really only comes at the expense of labor. That is 100% true. Just interested what you guys are thinking about here at 303-696-1971. And from my hometown of Lakewood, how are you?
Morning, George.
Morning.
First, let me say I thank you and welcome you. I love your new show, and I'm
thank you.
Appreciative of your addition to the lineup on KNUS.
That's so very nice of you, and that email should go directly to someone named Brian Taylor.
I'm calling because I wanted to share a statistic that changed my mind about the strike. I did a 180-degree turn.
Wow.
So I was not in favor of the strike and the increased wages. We're all suffering ridiculous inflation. I have a 40-year-old business, both products and services. I cannot keep up with inflation, and my increases or non-increases adjusted for inflation, I'm making less money than I was 10 years ago.
Wow.
Then I read this statistic, and I had sympathy. I read this statistic from an analysis by the research firm Economic Roundtable. I don't know if you've seen this chart. And Kroger sales, net income, CEO pay, and food clerk pay from 2010 to 2020.
Okay.
So Kroger's sales in billions, adjusted for inflation, because that's the only way you can do this fairly,
right,
is up 36% in 10 years. Okay.
Okay, that's healthy.
Their net income in billions, adjusted for inflation in 10 years, is up 102%.
Ooh, that's big.
They have cash. Their CEO annual pay in the same time period has tripled, and adjusted for inflation is 150% increase, up to $22.4 million a year.
I'm not greedy. I'll do the job for 10%. If they're looking for someone.
Well, and if you had just doubled his income, it wouldn't be anywhere near that. The food clerk's highest hourly wage in Colorado, adjusted for inflation, is down 3%.
How is that possible?
So, look at their income. 102% income increase, net income increase versus 36% sales increase. They're obviously cutting costs, because we all know cost of goods with food, groceries, et cetera, is up. They're cutting costs in their labor.
So if their inflation-adjusted wage today is lower than it was, and that's buying power thing from 10 years, if that's true, why in the hell is anyone going there to take those jobs?
Because people don't know that. They don't understand that. Huh. You show them statistics, and they just get discombobulated. And they read gross numbers. They don't read, you know, apples-to-apples numbers. And there are health benefits. Every time I talk to somebody at Safeway or Kroger, or somebody that goes to get a job at Safeway or Kroger, they tell me I need the benefits. I don't have benefits. I own my own company.
Yeah.
They need the benefits. So they're getting health benefits. And to your other point,
yeah.
So that's what flipped me, because it's like, look, they at least ought to be at par. And so I support the wage increase, and I say it shouldn't come from price increases. It should come from Mr. CEO's exorbitant.
Although you and I can't make that last decision, right? Like, you and I can't make the decision about where it comes from. But if they price themselves into a less competitive place, then I guess Safeway wins, right?
Right. I mean, that's true with any business. The disparity between top executive pay in America versus the average middle manager or worker has exponentially widened since the 1970s and 80s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the 1970s and 80s, the CEO, of course, made more, and a worker middle manager was at a lower rate, of course.
Yeah.
But that disparity, as shown here by Kroger's, has exponentially increased to a point where I think it has gotten out of hand. So I would support them getting a nominal wage increase on an hourly rate. What I understand is their big gripe and why their hourly wage isn't cutting it in Colorado, where just today the average Denver Metro home was priced at $710,000.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
That they're only working 30 hours a week. And I blame the federal government and
goddamn
supposedly non-affordable health care laws for that. So I take this back to the federal government deciding kind of labor practices in corporate America that incentivizes all companies from having full-time employees. And when you read about this strike, you see that that's the biggest issue. The Kroger folks are saying, I want 40 hours a week, and I'm only being given less than 30.
And that's what they're asking for.
Mark.
In addition to the pay, they're asking for more hours.
Yeah.
Man, that is fascinating. And great phone call. Thank you for the kind words. I want to get some people's reaction to what you said. Ann, thank you so much for that. Does anything Ann said change your mind on this? Like, I wasn't aware that their actual buying power, and that's inflation-adjusted pay, was lower today than it was 10 years ago. Does that change how you view what they're doing and how Kroger should respond to it? I know that Kroger's put out their information that they're at thin profit margins. That doesn't really address the explosion in the CEO pay part, and that's always been an issue. If you're Bernie Sanders, you think the federal government should come in and do something about it. I don't. I think the market should. I don't want to see the federal government make one more decision than they absolutely have to, because they're so freaking bad at it. However, in this setting with these strikers, what have you seen? What have you heard? Do you support them? Do you not? What is going on out there? 303-696-1971. Ann's line is open. We're going right back to the hometown of Lakewood with Phil. Phil, you're on the George Brockler Show. What do you think?
Hi, George. Well, that call right before me, Ann, that was an excellent call.
That was a good one.
I
very
love
informative.
That kind of stuff.
Very informative.
Yeah, all the information. I just wanted to add into this. When I started listening, I heard you talking about the cashier, I believe, at that level was getting a $2 an hour raise.
That's what they had offered them. According to this texter, his daughter's a part-time cashier and not yet a full employee, I guess, hasn't been there a year, and she was offered, I think, $2 an hour more.
Okay, I don't want to say the specific store that I go to. You know, I don't want to stir the pot. It is,
sure.
But I go there. I've been going there for over, like 2 decades now, and I know all the people. And I was talking to the butcher the night before, the last day before they went on strike, he was telling me that they were offering him a $4 an hour.
Oh, wow.
Well, he's not part-time.
Yeah,
okay.
Full-time.
And then I was talking to the woman that sells the lottery tickets like a few weeks ago, and she was saying she's making like 13 bucks an hour. But what the guy said, the butcher, he was saying that, and at this one, I'm like, oh, you can't go for that. He goes, yeah, they want to make our pay attached to what Safeway's getting.
And is that higher or lower, or how does that impact it?
I think it would have been lower after like what they're saying, or, you know, so it's like basically they were offering them a raise, but we're not going to tell you what it is until we find out what Safeway's making or something like that. It just didn't make sense. It's like, you know, if you're working for Ford, it's like, well, we're not going to pay you until we find out what Chevy's making or, you know, the other company. And it sounded kind of strange. And then I was talking to another guy in the Bush department like a month ago, and he was saying, and this was in the news, they wanted to, if people did chose not to get the COVID shot, that they were going to put like a tax or like an extra charge on their health insurance.
Oh, interesting.
So, this, So there's some things going on. I mean, nothing like the last call before me, but I just wanted to add that in. And
Phil, I love these things because these are facts you don't get from the mainstream media. And as always, Phil, thanks for being a great listener and a caller. We just don't get this kind of information except from the great callers at 710 KNUS. Phil's line is open, 303-696-1971. I want to try to sneak in Kent, and then Eric, if you stay on hold and everybody else, we'll get to you after the break. Kent, what do you think?
I didn't call about the store, but I won't cross the picket line. I won't go to Safeway either because it's more expensive than King's.
No, I get it. Tell me about the trucker thing though. You wanted to talk about, and then we'll keep going. Yeah.
Is that sentence that he got, that 10 years by our beloved governor, is that set in stone?
Yeah,
or
that's,
are they doing something about
it?
Yeah,
listen,
today?
That's done, but I'll say this. There's an asterisk. It appears that the governor has violated a state statute called CRS, Colorado Revised Statute 16-17-102, that says before he can act on an application for clemency, which he did, he shall, that's a big must, he shall provide the application for clemency to the elected DA, to the sitting judge who sentenced him, and to the prosecutor in the courtroom, and give them no less than 14 days to provide feedback. We know that didn't happen because they all thought they were going to a hearing this week. And instead, he made the decision within 10 days. Could one of them that has a right under that statute, could they go to court and ask the court to, I don't know if it's an injunction or a writ of mandamus or something, to keep him from imposing that sentence till he complies with our law? I think they could. Will it change the ultimate outcome? I don't think so, but it sure would yank the chain on the governor, and it should be done to let any governor now or in the future know our laws matter. You don't get to decide which ones to follow.
Very good.
Yeah. Hey, thank you, Ken. Okay. I appreciate that. Thanks, man.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Hey, listen, Eric, everybody else on hold at 303-696-1971, and of course, Kent's line is open now, too. We're going to get your calls and fill up the last part of this fifth and final hour today. Until that time, you're listening to me, George Brockler, on The George Brockler Show on 710 KNUS. George Brockler back with you here on The George Brockler Show. Just about the last segment here, about 10 minutes to talk with you, either on text, and these things have been blowing up all day. And that's fantastic because I love the fact that we get this kind of participation. We're going to jump right back into the phone lines here. Phone line is open at 303-696-1971. Here's a text. Most union airline primarily will always try to match the competitor's wages. And yes, some airlines are, quote, taxing their employees' medical they are currently unvaccinated. Work for a large airline in Denver in maintenance as a manager. And I guess I can kind of understand that, too. If you run the risk of increasing the insurance costs for the rest of the pool, and it's always based on this giant pool, I get wanting to charge you more. I wonder where that ends, though, right? Like, are they going to start to eyeball people who are tipping that obese part of the BMI scale and say, hey, listen, unless you drop a couple LBs, if I see you snacking at all during your break, chips, whatever, we're going to have to charge you more until you get that BMI down to 22 or 23 or whatever a good number is? Or smokers, do they pay more? I don't know. You drink at home? Do we need to do a I don't know if this is part of that or if this is such a standalone obvious thing that's silly. I don't know. 303-696-1971. Eric from Denver. Talk to me, man.
Hey, George. I'll make it quick.
No, go ahead.
First off, regarding the trucker, I am a truck driver. I used to be leased to King Soopers.
Yeah.
The state of Colorado has some blame in that, too. It's been at least 5 years since I've seen either State Patrol or Jeffco Sheriff working that hill, going after the trucks that come down. I've come down that hill at 40 miles an hour in a semi and been passed by trucks going 70 miles an hour, and there's nobody around.
What do you attribute that to? What do you attribute that to?
I don't know what to attribute it to. I know State Patrol is short-staffed. I was told they just don't have the officers. Although, at the same time, the one afternoon here a few weeks back, there was four state troopers working the stretch between Floyd Hill and Evergreen Parkway, but there was nobody on the downhill, and I had trucks passing like I was standing still. But regarding King Soopers real quick, and the lady that called with those statistics, so here's a couple of statistics. The CEO of Kroger oversees 435,000 employees, 2,712 stores, 42 food processing or warehouses, and he signs million-dollar contracts and whatnot, like you and I, you know, pay Excel. But I'm surprised that none of the workers question why the head of the union earns $240,000 a year, which is nine times what the average store worker
is. That true? $240,000 a year?
That's true. Her base salary is $210,000 plus bennies. And as wow. Peter talked about 15 years ago or 12 years ago, the last head of Local 7, when he retired, he had a golden parachute that rivaled some corporate CEOs.
Really?
So you have to wonder, when the current one retires, I wonder what her golden parachute is going to resemble compared to the average store worker.
I wonder if they've got their own little pension going, or if it's some super sweet 401k.
Well, I mean, I remember when the last one retired, Pete, talking about it, that the union bought him a brand new $70,000 pickup plus his pension, and his personal lawyer, who was also his daughter, they bought her a Cadillac because she left at the same time he did.
But it's American-made, though. That's something.
Well, yeah, okay.
Eric, you know, let me suggest this. In answer to your first thing, you're right. State Patrol is incredibly underfunded and understaffed in the state of Colorado. It's been that way for years now. And for Jeffco Sheriff, they have also really taken it in the chops from the commissioners over the last few years, to the point where, you may remember this, Jeff Schrader, a super sheriff out there, had to close down an entire floor of his jail. Not because they didn't have the people to put in it, but because they didn't have the staff to keep it open and running because of the cuts they were taking. So I agree with you. I'd like to see more of the good guys out there making sure that people are making good decisions. But that's the answer to that part right there. And in terms of the union piece, as a truck driver for Kings, have you been back there at all since this thing happened yesterday? What are you seeing? What's your sense of it?
Well, I'm like I said, I used to be leased to them. I'm not. I stopped a couple of years ago. I got tired of dealing with them. But my wife went to the King Supers on 84th and Pecos yesterday to get some stuff.
Okay.
And she was commented by one of the union members, quote unquote, "We'll remember your face the next time you come in."
Holy smokes. That feels like the 60s. That feels like Peter's neighborhood where he grew up. That doesn't feel like Colorado at all.
Huh. Yeah. So,
well, Eric, thank you for this great phone call. Thanks for the update on this. 303-696-1971. Eric's line is open. Going to Steve in Denver. You're on 710 KNUS. Steve, what do you think?
Hey, good morning, George. Hey, morning. You mentioned life insurance policies or health insurance policies.
Yeah, health insurance,
and passing on changes in premiums to employees. That exactly is what cannot happen in a group policy. That's exactly why somebody with end-stage leukemia that works for a big bank or something gets into a group policy and pre-existing conditions can't even be rated. And furthermore, what do we know about insurance companies? They're really great about spreading the risk. So let's say that there's a $2 billion fire in Boulder. Everybody's property insurance policies are going up probably next year to cover that cost. Is it weird that COVID hasn't changed the mortality tables? Because the people that are dying have kept life insurance policies exactly where they expected to be. And they haven't changed the mortality table, so life insurance premiums haven't even gone up.
Well, Steve, this is a very smart call, and it's probably worth another topic at another time. But let me say this. If you build in an area that is prone to fires, you ought to pay more for your property insurance than someone that doesn't live in that area. And in that way, it seems like if you engage in more health risk behaviors, and I get what you're talking about in spreading out the risk, and if someone's sick and they're bringing that to health insurance, I get why you can't charge more. I'm saying if you are otherwise healthy, but you're engaged in being obese, smoker, drinker, whatever else, is it your understanding of the law that an insurance company can't say, I'm not going to give you the benefit of whatever rate I give someone who is your normal, healthy, vegetable-eating, you know, walker?
Absolutely. And George, you know, there's a difference between building in a floodplain.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
And
call.
having 80,000 employees nationwide and spreading that risk over people that aren't built in that floodplain and people that don't live in those mountains and people that don't have trees or people that live in condominiums.
Do you think that people who are I'm creating this person out of thin air, someone who is a 350-pound, pork-rind-eating, cigarette-smoking drinker at night, should that person in a pool pay the same health insurance as someone who is a lean meat-eating, vegetable, fruits, walks, sleeps well, doesn't do any of those other things? Should they pay the same amount?
Maybe the better way to say what I said, George,
yeah.
is the life the life insurance companies would love to charge you more. That's why they lobby Congress and get things like Obamacare passed.
Yeah.
But on top of that, those risks are already part of that pie. They're already baked in. And so they've already spread even that risk inside of that policy. Everybody is paying for that extra premium for that fat guy.
Dang it. So should we do something about that?
What can be done?
I mean, it sounds like you know the insurance world. What could possibly be done? Let's pretend we could change the law. What can we do to incentivize people through those kinds of rates to, hey, maybe it's only two Big Macs tonight?
Well, I guess you could add some incentives for people to go out and get blood work done and do physicals and maybe knock off some of their deductible, but that's what the group policies are already doing.
When you hear about these people that call in and say that some of these, Kroger and others, and I don't know if this is true or not, but they're saying they're telling people, hey, if you don't go get vaccinated, we're going to charge you more for your health insurance premium. Is that legit?
It's illegal.
Oh, it's illegal. Okay.
You can't do that. They can't tell me to go get my measles shot. They can't even ask me whether or not I've got it, but they do anyway.
Could they, aside from that, and maybe this is a bigger employment law question, but could they then say, yeah, we're not going to charge you more, but you can't come to work unless you've got your measles shot, unless you've got the vaccination. Do they get to do that? It feels like they could.
You know, that's the problem. You know, all these public companies are really private corporations.
Right, right.
And so just like the store can say, you know, hey, do you got your little vaccination card? And because you don't, you can't come in. Or where's your mask?
Right,
I guess they could do a lot of things. So it takes a lot of us standing up to a lot of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And tipping the scales at some point.
And just like
the previous callers say, man, if that's what part of the problem is at Kroger, man, I'm not crossing those lines. Those guys are fighting for us right now.
Yeah. Great call, super smart call. I love the expertise that you brought with the insurance stuff. That helps a ton. Time for one last caller. Brett, you're on 710 CAN-US. I can give you just about a minute.
Yeah, it's actually Fred.
Fred. I'm sorry. It says Brett on my screen here.
Yeah,
sorry.
My wife works at King Soopers.
Okay.
And I totally support the increase in pay and everything that they're fighting for, because she's been working there for 25 years,
wow.
Man.
That's great.
And my daughter, who just started with Starbucks without any kind of higher education, is making more than my wife already.
How much of a pay increase is your wife seeking through the union? I don't mean it's just her, but what kind of pay increase?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure on that.
Do you know what else they're fighting for other than a pay increase? Do you know what the benefits are they're looking for?
Well, it looks like they're looking at cutting benefits.
And, oh, really?
Cutting benefits. And, for example, they shredded me. I used to be on her insurance, but they shredded me once they got the Obamacare came into
and said you can go fend for yourself now that we have Obamacare,
basically. Yeah.
Oh, buddy. Fred, yeah. Great call. So, thank you. I appreciate it. I'd love to hear in the future. Please call in again and tell us what you're seeing out there, the kind of support or lack of support or apathy or whatever for the picketers out there. Look, this has been a good fast 5 hours. There's a good chance in about 30 minutes I'm gonna nod off wherever it is I'm sitting. Hopefully it's not behind the wheel on the road. G, thanks for covering. Billy, thank you for everything you did this morning. Pete, enjoy the slopes. I know you'll be back here tomorrow from 5 to 9. Stefan, live and local from 3 to 7. I'll be back with you tomorrow from 9 to 10. My name's George Brockler. It's 710 KNUS.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.